Wednesday, October the 13th, 10, 5 Keshlan 5771. Day 4 before Shabbat Parasha Lech Lecha, go for yourself. Genesis 15.
Elohim's covenant with Abram.
After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Abram said unto Yahweh, "What will you give me, since I go childless, and who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram said, "Behold, to me you have given no seed, and, behold, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir." Yahweh brought him outside, and said, "Look now toward the sky, and count the stars, if you were able to count them." He said to Abram, "So shall your seed be." He believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. He said to him, "I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur Kasdim, to give you this land to inherit it." He said unto Yahweh, "How will I know that I will inherit it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all of these, and divided them in the middle, and laid each half opposite the other, but he didn't divide the birds. The birds of prey came down in the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Now terror and great darkness fell on him. He said to Abram, "Know for sure that your seed will live as foreigners in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years. I will also judge that nation, whom they will serve. Afterward they will come out with great wealth, but you will go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried in a good old age. In the fourth generation they will come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full." It came to pass that, when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. In that day Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." Mark 7.
Defilement comes from within.
Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, unwashed, hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Judeans don't eat unless they wash their hands and forearms, holding to the tradition of the elders. They don't eat when they come from the marketplace, unless they bathe themselves, and there are many other things, which they have received to hold to, washings of cups, pitchers, bronze vessels, and couches. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with unwashed hands?" He answered them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For you set aside the commandment of Elohim, and hold tightly to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and you do many other such things." He said to them, "Full well do you reject the commandment of Elohim, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and, 'He who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is to say, given to Elohim, then you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, making void the word of Elohim by your tradition, which you have handed down. You do many things like this." He called all the multitude to himself, and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing from outside of the man, that going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man are those that defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he had entered into a house away from the multitude, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Don't you perceive that whatever goes into the man from outside can't defile him, because it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, then into the latrine, thus purifying all foods?" He said, "That which proceeds out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, sexual sins, murders, thefts, covetings, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and defile the man.
A Gentile shows her faith.
From there he arose, and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He entered into a house, and didn't want anyone to know it, but he couldn't escape notice. For a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. She begged him that he would cast the demon out of her daughter. But Yeshua said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not appropriate to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Adonai, eat even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." He said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." She went away to her house, and found the child having been laid on the bed, with the demon gone out.
Yeshua heals a deaf mute.
Again he departed from the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and came to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside from the multitude, privately, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat, and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was released, and he spoke clearly. He commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, so much the more widely they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf hear, and the mute speak." Mark 8.
Feeding the 4,000.
In those days, when there was a very great multitude, and they had nothing to eat, Yeshua called his disciples to himself, and said to them, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have stayed with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their home, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come a long way." His disciples answered him, "From where could one satisfy these people with bread here in a deserted place?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves. Having given thanks, he broke them, and gave them to his disciples to serve, and they served the multitude. They had a few small fish. Having blessed them, he set to serve these also. They ate, and were filled. They took up 7 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Those who had eaten were about 4,000. Then he sent them away. Immediately he entered into the boat with his disciples, and came into the region of Dalmanutha.
The Pharisees seek a sign.
The Pharisees came out and began to question him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, and testing him. He sighed deeply in his spirit, and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Most certainly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation."
Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod.
He left them, and again entering into the boat, departed to the other side. They forgot to take bread, and they didn't have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. He warned them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They reasoned with one another, saying, "It's because we have no bread." Yeshua, perceiving it, said to them, "Why do you reason that it's because you have no bread? Don't you perceive yet, neither understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They told him, 12. "When the 7 loaves fed the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They told him, 7. He asked them, "Don't you understand, yet?"
A blind man healed at Bethsaida.
He came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him, and begged him to touch him. He took hold of the blind man by the hand, and brought him out of the village. When he had spit in his eyes, and laid his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up, and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes. He looked intently, and was restored, and saw everyone clearly. He sent him away to his house, saying, "Don't enter into the village, nor tell anyone in the village."
Peter confesses Yeshua as the Messiah.
Yeshua went out, with his disciples, into the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They told him, "John the Immerser, and others say Elijah, but others, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." He commanded them that they should tell no one about him.
Yeshua predicts his death and resurrection.
He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke to them openly. Peter took him, and began to rebuke him. But he, turning around, and seeing his disciples, rebuked Peter, and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you have in mind not the things of Elohim, but the things of men."
"Take up the tree and follow him."
He called the multitude to himself with his disciples, and said to them, "Whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake and the sake of the good news will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what will a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the set apart holy angels." Mark 9.
Yeshua transfigured in the mount.
He said to them, "Most certainly I tell you, there are some standing here who will in no way taste death until they see the kingdom of Elohim come with power." After 6 days Yeshua took with him Peter, Jacob, and John, and brought them up into a high mountain privately by themselves, and he was changed into another form in front of them. His clothing became glistening, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah and Moses appeared to them, and they were talking with Yeshua. Peter answered Yeshua, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For they didn't know what to say, for they were very afraid. A cloud came, overshadowing them, and the voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly looking around, they saw no one with them anymore, except Yeshua only. As they were coming down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one what things they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept this saying to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. They asked him, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah indeed comes first, and restores all things. How is it written about the Son of Man, that he should suffer many things and be despised? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they have also done to him whatever they wanted to, even as it is written about him."
A boy is healed.
Coming to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes questioning them. Immediately all the multitude, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and running to him greeted him. He asked the scribes, "What are you asking them?" One of the multitude answered, "Rabbi, I brought to you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and wastes away. I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they weren't able." He answered him, "Unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." They brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, "How long has it been since this has come to him?" He said, "From childhood. Often it has cast him both into the fire and into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us, and help us." Yeshua said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, "I believe. Help my unbelief." When Yeshua saw that a multitude came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him, and never enter him again." Having cried out and convulsed greatly, it came out of him. The boy became like one dead, so much that most of them said, "He is dead." But Yeshua took him by the hand and raised him up, and he arose. When they had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing, except by prayer and fasting."
Yeshua again predicts his death and resurrection.
They went out from there and passed through Galilee. He didn't want anyone to know it. For he was teaching his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being handed over to the hands of men, and they will kill him, and when he is killed, on the third day he will rise again." But they didn't understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him,
"Who is the greatest?"
He came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house he asked them, "What were you arguing among yourselves in the way?" But they were silent, for they had disputed one with another in the way about who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If any man wants to be first, he shall be last of all, and servant of all." He took a little child and set him in their midst. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me doesn't receive me, but him who sent me."
Yeshua forbids sectarianism.
John said to him, "Rabbi, we saw someone who doesn't follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't follow us." But Yeshua said, "Don't forbid him, for there is no one who will do a mighty work in my name and be able quickly to speak evil of me. For whoever is not against us is on our side. For whoever will give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you are Messiah's, most certainly I tell you, he will in no way lose his reward."
Yeshua warns of offenses.
"Whoever will cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if he were thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around his neck. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, rather than having your two hands to go into Gehinnom, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm doesn't die, and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame, rather than having your two feet to be cast into Gehinnom, into the fire that will never be quenched, where their worm doesn't die, and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, cast it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of Elohim with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into the Gehinnom of fire, where their worm doesn't die, and the fire is not quenched."
Tasteless salt is worthless.
"For everyone will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, with what will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." End of today's Torah and related scriptures. Praise YAH. HNVIT version, in the public domain.